Good morning, Sherry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
We
Oh,
can
my
hear
God.
you.
Okay, good.
All right. Whew. All right.
All right. So our assignment from yesterday. Before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single unified entity. I'm me. I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. The assignment: review the conversation you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic. Record and listen to what you see. Example: the voices, I don't have time to exercise, what I have to get done today is XYZ, other people clearly have more time than I do, I'm too busy, it's my job. The I's, characteristic responsible, it's my job, what I have to get done today is XYZ. Characteristic victim, other people clearly have more time than I do. Characteristic stressed, I don't have time to exercise, I'm too busy. All right.
Hard to be a human, isn't it?
It's hard to be a human. All right. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello, Sherry Ashwini. It's Claire from London.
Hello, Claire.
Hey, Claire.
Hi. Yeah, so I saw lots of things, and I was doing the thing that Ashwini suggested about looking at it, seeing what you see, and then asking the same question again and going to the next layer and the next layer.
Mm.
So that was really interesting. I saw, you know, various species of perfectionist.
Oh, various species of perfectionist.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So
it's not just one I discovered.
Sub.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 The eyes have little eyes.
Yes, they do. Yes. No, depending on which facet you're looking at. So I had a Puritan perfectionist who was a plaster saint. And I had a Judge Jeffreys, the hanging judge, perfectionist. So he was saying that everything has to be 100%. Prove it, prove it, prove it. Whatever I do,
uh-huh.
I have to prove
it. Or die.
It. Or die, yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then that the Puritan perfectionist was... the message is you have to tell people everything that you're thinking. So you're having a private conversation with ego and thinking nasty things about people or other egos. and it's not honest unless you tell people what all of those things that are going on in your head.
Uh-huh. Yeah. All in the pursuit of being the perfect person.
Yes.
And when you lay it out like that, we can all chuckle because it's so obviously ridiculous and we so deeply believe it.
Yes.
Both of those things are true.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And even when we see it that clearly, we still believe it, which is that old, you know, choosing our beliefs over our experience. Because I know that it is not a good thing to tell people every nasty thing that goes through my head. And yet I will continue to be punished because that's happening.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just going to say that when I went under that, I found that it, underlying it is actually what's actually happening is that I'm not telling people when they're crossing my boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So the exact opposite is happening, actually, that I'm not even telling them things that I really ought to be telling them for my own good.
Yes. Well, and for theirs.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah,
right? For their too. Own good. Because I don't tell you that when you just drop in at all times of the day or night, it really bugs me. I really hate it. In fact, it sets me off into hours of how much I hate this. But I can't do anything to you.
Yes.
I can't give you that simple piece of information that would enable you to not do something that is so displeasing to me. It's not your intention to do things that are displeasing to me. You just don't know it's happening.
Wow, I've just realized that I was actually doing that exercise yesterday and somebody was crossing my boundaries big time and I never noticed the connection between the two.
Uh-huh. Wow. This is where I always say, don't you just love practicing awareness?
Yes.
Isn't it just the best? I mean, it's like we've got our hands on the dimmer switch, and we didn't notice that actually we're living in almost complete darkness, and we're just starting to turn up the lights.
Yes.
So good. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes, indeed. Go happy.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Claire. Oh, it is. Practice is so wonderful. Very good. I think there's a way in which when we do the exercise, which is to try to write down the conversation, find out the beliefs, go under, etc. There's such a richness in terms of what's happening that we're in touch with, and we see all of these connections, and it's so informative about how our life is and why we do the things we do. I mean, that's just so interesting to get to know.
And how bogus the judgment and criticism is.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, how bogus the judgment and criticism is. I was just reflecting that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the big thing that we get to see, just as we saw with Claire. You know, we're being punished for stuff that is just completely absurd, but we don't know it's absurd because we've never been allowed to see it.
Yes, that the surface layer of looking is insufficient because it just brings us up against the self-hatred. But if we go beyond that, if we keep looking beyond it, then there's a piece of information, the underlying reason, for example, why the self-hate is there. And once I see that, it's because I have certain boundaries that I don't want another person to cross, why am I not allowed to say anything about that? Now my attention is on something that I can actually explore further that could make a difference in my situation rather than being trapped by that judgment about what an awful person I am or what an awful person someone else is. I think what I was seeing is how much we are imprisoned by the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And isolated, right?
And
because
isolated.
There's somebody in my life. They're in my life, for God's sake. 7.5 billion people aren't. So this person is. And ego is devoted to creating the same level of separation between me and that person as between me and the billions of people I'll never encounter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry and Ashwini.
Hello.
This is Patty from Vancouver.
Patty. Hello.
Hello. Well, I did this, and I found it fascinating.
Uh-huh.
My subject was what, how I eat. And what I see is that I am very controlled by the voices. I do what they say.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing on both sides of each, there's a duality in each, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
You have to, you can't. You'd better not.
Well, and it's set up like, these things are bad, these things are good, then I'm told to do them, and then I'm told that I'm a very bad person for doing them. Like, TV equals snacking, reading a book equals snacking, sitting in the bath reading a book equals snacking, and probably chocolate or, you know, something that ego set up that really I shouldn't be eating too much of.
Yeah.
So, again, it's that all roads lead to self-hatred, right?
Yeah.
So everything in your life is about snacking, and snacking is not good. But you're constantly talked into snacking because it's presented as the thing that's going to finally satisfy all your desires. And so you snack, and then you get a beating for snacking, or then the conversation starts, well, you could snack, but you need to eat apples. No more chocolate. Then chocolate becomes the only thing it's talking about.
Correct. It's sort of zeroing in on that one thing because that's the bad one. But, you know, just have a little.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really bad, and you're a bad person for doing it, but go ahead, have just a little. Oh, just a little more. Oh, just a little more. So fiendish, isn't it?
So I identified about 5 different sub-personalities.
Mm-hmm.
One being the victim, that I have to do what I am told by ego.
Mm-hmm.
The productive one, that if I do something while I'm eating, then, you know, I'm multitasking, I'll get more done.
Yeah, I love it. Go ahead.
If I have coffee in the afternoon, even though I'm really not supposed to, it'll perk me up. I'll get more done.
You'll get more done. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah. And then there's the responsible one. You need to eat vegetables, not sugar, not carbs, not chocolate. And also that sugar causes inflammation. This is what I'm told, and therefore I shouldn't be eating it. This is by the experts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At the same time, there is the one, if we can narrow it down to a one, who is completely obsessed with eating sugar. Right?
Yes. Because I can't, therefore I really want it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh! It is all so terribly helpful to see, isn't it? Because now I picture for you that you're going to be watching these folks as if they are real, actual people in your life who are having these conversations. Sequentially, or, you know, they're tag teaming, or whatever image we want for that. So one comes in, then the next one comes in, then the next one comes in, and we're just left reeling from all of this. And of course, again, you can look and see if this is true. Eventually, you get to the point of, God, I just need chocolate. Everybody, just shut up. I need chocolate. Whatever that is, we're driven to the behavior that is the escape from that onslaught.
Yes, exactly.
Well, and then the beating comes.
And I have a couple more, and one of them speaks exactly to that, and that is the survival person or personality that says, you have to have coffee in the morning first thing before anything or you will die.
Yeah. Yeah, you just won't be able to make it.
No, I won't.
You won't be able to multitask through the rest of the day.
No, exactly.
And
then the last one I had was to be popular or accepted. And so just eat whatever is given to you if you're out. Don't make waves.
Don't be weird.
One or two is socially acceptable and people will like you, you know.
Gotta fit in.
And my body weight and how I look is important. And I get buzzed by drinking coffee, therefore I'm more animated with other people.
Yeah. Wow. God.
It's so great to break it down like that.
Yeah.
Now I can start to see the duality that starts to be set up when I'm either out or I'm in my kitchen deciding what to have or when I'm in the bath or when I'm reading a book. I can start to see.
And you get to look at all of this with an "is that so" attitude. Mm-hmm. Every time you hear one of those that now you've identified so clearly, "is that so? Really? I'm not sure that that's true. I'm going to look into that." And so right now I think for the next couple of days, I'm not going to drink coffee first thing in the morning and just see if I die.
Yes.
If I don't die, then, you know, I can go back to having my coffee if I choose to. But I just want to find out, will I die? Because that'd be important for me to know.
Oh,
all right. Well, thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, Patty.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Have fun.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Patty. Oh, I just love it. I just love the fact that we're doing it at this level of detail, Sherry. The information is so rich.
Yeah. And I bet you anybody who's listening in with just what we've talked about so far, the kinds of things that are revealed, every one of us can relate to it.
Yes.
In the detail. I mean, I'm not a big chocolate person, but I certainly know exactly what Patty's talking about.
Exactly. And what I think you were pointing to, which is so helpful, is no wonder we're so, all of our attention and all of our energy is being siphoned away because we're split into all of these people, within quotes, all of whom have opposing agendas, all of whom are trying to maintain their positions. Gosh, what an exhausting way to live.
Right? No wonder we're tired and we need to get in the bathtub with a good book and some chocolate at the end of the day. It's exhausting just surviving the day.
Looking at it from the perspective of the objective, what that whole program does is cause us to check out of our lives. Right? We don't live it.
Yes. Yeah. Because I don't want to deal with it. You know, it's like having that many children, right? If we had to deal with, you know, 30 or 40 small children every day, how quickly would we get to the point of, I can't take it? And we would do anything for some relief. And that's really the position that ego has us in. We'll do whatever it says if it promises relief.
Yes. And here's where I went to with that, which is it says exit, life is the problem, as opposed to it is the problem, right? We get to the conclusion that what we need is relief from existence, not relief from ego. And that's the ultimate negation, right? That you're completely not in life, and that's the objective.
Yeah. Gosh, that's so important. So back with what Claire was saying, you know, the problem is not what the ego voices are doing to me. The problem is this person who intrudes in my life.
Yes.
Right?
Let's get rid of that person.
Yeah. So that is so critical for us to see, isn't it? That what we're zeroing in on is that all of our problems are happening in a conversation inside the head, and we're just breaking down how that happens, how that conversation gets maintained, and how we believe it, and the results of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Darren, calling from New York City. And
Darren,
I'm calling for two reasons. One, just to introduce myself, because this is the first time I've worked with the two of you and your organization.
Well, nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to
meet
you.
Happy you're here.
Thank you. you know, it's pretty coincidental, I guess, that the caller before is sort of working on the same thing I am. I'm trying to be aware of how I'm eating and choose healthy choices as a way to show myself some love. I'm looking for that to be sort of a window to, you know, replacing some of the self-hate with self-love. I had a broader, something I think it was too broad, so I wanted to find something real specific to work on that might help me have more concrete ideas.
This is very good. That's a very good choice. And what I was going to encourage you with is that as you spend more time with us, you'll realize that we are all in exactly the same position in life. And the difference is that we're in a process of realizing that more clearly. Most people are in the same process we're in. They just don't realize that there's an alternative or that it is a process. So we were in a workshop or a retreat at some point, and Ashwini was encouraging people that if you did something like wake up every morning, get out of bed, and pat your head 3 times, if you could do that consistently for a month, 2 months, 3 months, it would dramatically change all of these things that we're talking about. Right, because what happens to us is that we are distracted. We're pulled away from. And so what you're saying is really important. We want to make it as simple and as concrete as we can, because that's how we're going to get the best information about how we're stopped, how that whole system is put in place, and how we're stopped from making a simple choice of kindness for ourselves.
I see. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So even if it's making healthy choices, you might consider breaking that down further. You know, I'm going to eat a green leafy vegetable once a day, or stop eating chocolate cake for breakfast, or it's more helpful to do a positive than a negative.
Right.
But
yeah,
but one thing that you're going to focus on out of love and concern and care for him.
Oh, that's a great idea. I like that. Thank you.
Good.
I'm not going to stop having cake for breakfast though. But I'll try the leafy greens.
You'll try something, a little less extreme. I hear you. We want to start small, right, and build from there, right? And of course, the main thing for me in that is not to let any negative voices tell you what you're doing is less than it should be. You just, every time one of those voices comes up, just remind yourself, hey, I'm doing everything I can to turn this around for him. It's a lifetime of habits. We're going to take it one step at a time. This is for him.
So the way you're saying this makes me see that you're talking about an actual third voice. So you'll say you have this one particular maybe a victim voice or somebody that's just trying to say you're not worth it. But you're saying, you talk to yourself saying, let him enjoy this leafy vegetable because he deserves it. So you're actually adding another voice.
That's right. That's exactly right. And that is the voice of compassion.
Okay.
That's the voice that made you, or the perspective, and it's speaking, that caused you to want to do something for what we think of as yourself or myself. But it's helpful to step back from that ownership of that human being, because when ego owns that human being is in trouble. So from a place of compassion, you can see that this is a worthy human being deserving love and care and kindness. And you, from that place of compassion, are going to devote yourself to providing for him what has been denied him for so many years.
That's great. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. Stay in touch and let us know, okay?
I will. Have a good, good weekend.
Thanks. Right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Darren. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show. We have a minute left.
Wow.
And a rather long assignment. So how
all
about
right,
I
all right.
That?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here we go then.
So our definition of a subpersonality or aspect of ego is a collection of beliefs / assumptions and projections with a unique worldview and distinct language. The assignment. Take each of the descriptions from the previous assignment and begin to flesh out each I such that you can recognize each as a distinct personality. Write down the language each uses, what they project onto others, the world, and you, and from that, get a sense of each personality's worldview. Record and listen to what you see. As you work with this, make sure you stay on topic, confining the exploration to the specifics of what you're looking at this month. So, example, the subpersonality stressed. Stressed's worldview, language, and projections are, it's too hard, it's overwhelming, I can't do this, it's always been this way, it's always going to be this way, I can't stand it, my body is tense and tight, I feel irritable and angry.
Yes, and the key part of that, I think, is realizing that an aspect of ego is never going to change.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
It has that worldview, it says those things, it projects that, and it's not going to grow up, it's not going to thrive with awareness practice. It is a perspective that is fixed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's sort of what we were looking at with Patty, that we can't enjoy our lives because they're all fixed perspectives that are not responsive to the moment.
That's right, and they're not interested in working together to solve the problem. So don't get hopeful about that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Sherry.
Thanks, everybody. Take care. See you on Monday.
Monday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
And we have exercises during the weekend, right? So
yes.
More. Stay tuned. Okay. Good. Thanks, everybody.
So happy.
Go happy.